Luke chapter 2. Thank you, Brother Dale. That wonderful praise, time of praise, music. Today I just want to take a few moments and talk about the Messiah. Is that okay? Let's stand as we look to the Word of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. The Word of God says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill.'" I'm sorry, "and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice today in your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for sending your Son to this earth, God in the flesh, to show us your love, to sacrifice himself upon the cross of Calvary, that we might have forgiveness, that we might have reconciliation with you. Father, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts through your word now. We ask these things for your honor, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As a pastor, I, as most other pastors do, I have a goal. And this goal is that I do not preach the same thing over and over and over. Okay? And in pursuit of that goal, I keep a record of where I've been for the last years. You know? And I can tell you where I was 5 years ago. And I can tell you how long it's been since I've preached from a scripture. But I found one challenge in that goal. And that challenge is Christmas. Have you noticed that every Christmas we read the same passages, talk about the same thing, and it always ends? We have Christmas programs, we have Christmas songs, and they all end with the same thing, the birth of Jesus Christ. But you know what? That's okay. Because that story never gets old. And that's what I want to encourage you today. I want you to be excited about Jesus, about the birth of Jesus, because it still gives hope to the hopeless. The birth of Jesus still gives life to the lifeless. Today, I just want you to know that Jesus truly is the good word, the good news that is the remedy to the ails of our world. It's the story that changed the history of mankind. And I want to start today with God's revelation to the shepherds. The shepherds were the first to hear the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. They were in the fields. We read here in the text that the shepherds were living in the fields and they were guarding their sheep by night, and they were in the same country as Mary and Joseph. Just a few miles outside of Bethlehem, there's a place called Migdol Eder, which means Tower of the Flock. Now, I know you all heard this before, but I'm going to share it with you again. And this field, Migdol Eder, was the place where they kept the temple sheep. And the shepherds who kept these sheep were special shepherds in that they had to know what was required for temple sheep. And that's all good. But I don't want you to get to thinking too much of those guys. The shepherds, I mean. The shepherds were there, minding their business. 1 minute, it's night and sheep. The next minute, the glory of the Lord shone around them, meaning the place was illuminated simply by the glory of God. And they're talking to an angel, and this angel tells them of the birth of the Savior. And my question, the first question that comes to mind, I realize these guys were probably the highest in the order of shepherds. But why shepherds? Shepherds, you see, even though these guys may have been considered high in the order of shepherds, there was really no order of shepherds. Shepherds were looked down upon. They were not the upper crust of society. As a matter of fact, they were the lowest on the rung of the social ladder. If you were a shepherd, you were kind of considered unclean. As a matter of fact, you were ceremonially unclean and weren't even allowed to enter the temple. And besides that, you couldn't go to the temple because you were keeping sheep out in the field. So these guys didn't even go to church. Why would God choose these guys? I mean, religiously they would have been unacceptable. Socially they would have been looked down upon. Their work, they were not. I mean, you know, you just expect certain things. You expect important things to happen to important people, and these guys were not it. And the thought came to my mind, why the shepherds? And the answer is, I only have one answer. That answer is called grace. Grace. Why shepherds? Why the lowest of the low? Why the bottom of the social ladder? Grace. Oh, what grace that the Lord gave His announcement to the lower crust of society. It wasn't the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews. It wasn't Herod. It wasn't Caesar who received the news. It wasn't the scribes, Pharisees, or the Sadducees, the religious people. It was none of those folks. It was just old, dirty shepherds who slept outside and kept sheep. And you know, I thought, wow, Lord. Wow. Because don't we think, I mean, in the world that we live in today, don't we think that there are certain people who are important? As I thought about it, I thought of those here today. How many here today do not consider themselves as being church-type people? I mean, you know, maybe you're here and you go to church on Christmas because you think you should, and I'm not throwing stones at you, I get it. But what I want you to understand is, and what I want you to see, is that God's message was probably, well, it was to the people who needed it the most. Those old lowly shepherds. As I look out here, I wonder who needs to hear God's message of salvation the most. Who needs God's grace? Who is it that says, I'm not good enough, that religion today is just way above me? Who is it that needs to hear from God? We think it's for pastors and deacons and teachers and church leaders. But you know what? The message of Jesus Christ applies to the lowest of low as well as it does to the highest of the high. Isn't that the good news? That's the good news.
That Jesus, there is no upper crust there. And God is not a respecter of persons. There is no hierarchy among us that you can look at me and say, well, Brother Doug has some special relationship with God. No, I don't. I have nothing with God that you cannot have yourself. Now, some of you may back up and say, well, you should. You're a preacher. Well, what I want you to get is I need the same grace you need. And it does not matter what you look like, how popular you are, and where you fall on the social ladder. God's message is for you. And it's for me. That's the first thing I want you to understand. Second thing I want you to see is how it's worthy of celebration. Oh, we go on and reread in verse 10. The angel said, do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. Do not be anxious. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. You know what stands out to me there? To you. There is born to you. This message was a message that was aimed to be a personal message. A message for all men everywhere. I just told you about how he appeared to the lowest of the low. But I want you to understand it's not just a message for the low. It's a message for everyone. A message that will change your life. All-inclusive message from God. He said to verse 11 again, do not be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Do you realize that Jesus is for lawyers, He's for doctors, He's for bankers, He's for trash collectors, He's for farmers, He's for everyone. That's the good news. That it is all inclusive. Oh, listen, this message, even though they appear to the shepherds, at the end they're going to make it widely known. You know, after they leave seeing Jesus, they're going to tell everyone. Why? Because the message was for every government official. The message was for Simeon, who was looking for the Messiah. The message was for Anna, who saw Jesus. The message is for all of them. And it's for all of us. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever get the bah humbugs? We've got to go to another Christmas party. I've got to buy more Christmas gifts. The things I've got to do and the things, you know. And do you know why we get that way? Because we lose sight of what it's all about. You know? Honestly, if we can just focus our minds, our eyes, and our all upon the Messiah, Jesus Christ, today and tomorrow, and for the Christmas season, if we just realize it's not about all that stuff anyway, it's about Jesus and the message of salvation that came from God Himself to mankind. Because of this message, I have an eternal hope. Because of this message, my sins are forgiven. Because of this message, I have peace with God. You know, we hear peace on earth. Go to Walmart this time of year and see if you experience peace. I dare you. See the peace. The peace is in Jesus. The peace is Jesus. And if we seek that peace anywhere else, we will not find it. I love this. I want you to get the profound nature of this message. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. You know, unto you, this is for you. And it's such good news that the angel can't contain himself. As a matter of fact, the angels of heaven can't contain themselves. They all appear with this one angel and they break out in song. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace and goodwill toward men. I would have liked to have heard that. Brother Dale, the music service was wonderful this morning, but I'd like to have heard that one. Man, I enjoyed everything this morning. But listen, here's the thing. When you get the message, you've got to celebrate. You know, I mean, really, when you lay aside all the distractions and realize all that stuff that we consider so important may not be so important, and you realize the reason for the season is that the Messiah is born, and because the Messiah is born, there is a hope for mankind, that a hope that can deliver us from the drugs, the despair, the discouragement, and everything that's prevalent in the world today. Because Jesus, God in the flesh, came to this earth, I have a hope that extends beyond this life. That's reason to celebrate. So much of a reason. I love it. It says that He was joined a multitude of heavenly hosts. You know what that word host literally means? It's an army. So what happened was this angel delivered the message, and the army of heaven came out and joined him, and the armies of heaven are breaking out in song. This is such good news. I want you today to get the good news. So much so that you're ready to celebrate the true reason for the season. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Then we go on. Then we see the shepherds' observation. I love their response. Because I still believe there would be Christians today if the angel appeared to us and said, you know, God has sent His Son. You know what some of our reaction might be? Well, that's really good. I'm glad to hear it. Thank you very much. These guys, when they heard that the Messiah was born, they said, verse 15, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. I want to call your attention to two words in that statement. All right? Two words. Number one, that word see. The Greek word is idon. And that word does not mean to look at with your eyes. Like you see me here, I see you there. That's not what that word means. That word, to see something with your eyes, is blepo in the Greek. But this is idon. And what that word means, it means to experience something. I want to go and know something from experience. I want to experience something firsthand. And when they say, let us go see, they're saying, let us go experience this thing firsthand. See, you've got to understand, you've got to experience Christmas. You know? Beth and I, we went on vacation earlier this year, and we went to Oregon, and we went to this place called Crater Lake in Oregon. And listen, I'm a old country boy from Desert, right? And so I hadn't seen a lot of sights like that. But we got on top of this big crater, and we looked down at the bluest water we have ever seen in our life. And it was in the month of June, and there was snow on the ground and snow up the sides of that crater. And it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. One of the most beautiful sights on this earth that I've ever seen. We took some pictures. And I can show you pictures. But it will not mean nearly as much to you as it means to me having been there and seen that. You know, you say, oh yeah, that's a pretty place, Brother Doug. Yeah, good, yeah. Why? Because you did not experience that with me. When I was, we also went to see the big trees in California, the redwoods. And I was there. Now, for a country boy, that's top rung, top shelf, right? When you see big trees. And so we go see the big redwoods in California. We stand at the bottom of those trees and we look up, and our mouth is just open. We're saying, wow, God, you did something awesome. And then I took out my camera. I said, Beth, we got to take pictures of this. And I took pictures. And I began to look at those pictures. And I was like, this is not what I'm seeing. This is not that tree. You could not tell how massive these trees were and how tall these trees were by photograph. The only way you can really see it is to go there and experience it. You see, that's what these guys are saying when they say, let us go see or let us go experience. Listen, you can hear all day long about a Savior, the Messiah who was born. But until you experience Jesus Christ, you'll never get it. You'll not get it. The other word I want to share with you, okay, is thing. And it's really interesting that he said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. And I do not know why they translated that word thing. The Greek word is rhema. The word rhema means a message or a phrase or a word. So literally what they're saying is, let us go experience this message for ourselves. That's what I want to encourage you today to do. You see, Jesus, this Messiah, was God's message to mankind. Message of salvation. We read in the book of John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was God's message to mankind. And the only way you can get this message is to experience Jesus firsthand. Let me tell you something. You cannot, we can sing about the manger all we want to, but you cannot go back and experience the manger. You can't do it. Okay? But you can experience the message of the manger. That message is John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved you that He gave His Son to be born in the flesh on this earth. See, that's the message that comes from the manger. That whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. You can experience the message. You can't experience the miracles that Jesus worked in His personal ministry. You weren't there. I mean, we can read about Him and back up and say, wow, that's really cool. But wouldn't it have been something to be there? To see the sight brought back to the blind. And oh my goodness, wouldn't you like to have seen Lazarus? When Jesus showed up and Lazarus had been dead 3 days and 4 days. And everybody said, it's too late. If you'd have just come earlier, Jesus, He would have survived. And he said, He's not dead, He's asleep. And everybody laughs at Him. And Jesus goes there. And He issues the command, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus come out of that grave wrapped in his grave clothes. I would just like to have seen that. How about you? But I can't. I won't. I can't go back. But I can experience the message of the ministry of Jesus Christ. You want to know what all those miracles were about? What raising Lazarus from the dead was about? In the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10, here it is. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the message of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen. I can't even go back and witness Calvary, where they took the Messiah, God in the flesh. They took Him to a place called Golgotha. They drove spikes in His hands and feet. They adorned Him with a crown of thorns. They mocked Him, spit upon Him, abused Him. And I can't go back and I can't experience that. Because it's history. But I can't experience the message of the cross, which was spoken by Jesus Himself. Luke 23, verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Forgiveness was the message of the cross. You see, today I want you to understand you can experience every aspect of Christmas as long as it's focused around the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, are you a child? Are you a believer? Are you saved? Have you experienced Jesus? If not, listen, if not, Christmas will just be Christmas. All right? What you've got to know is this. The message of sin. Number one, you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need a Savior. Number two, Jesus is your only hope. Listen, if you're going to celebrate Christmas, if you're going to celebrate the birth of a Savior, you've got to know Him as your Savior. It's got to be personal. You've got to know firsthand that event where you have called upon Him as the Son of God who paid for your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. Have you done that? Are you a child of the King? If you haven't done those things, my friend, Christmas will just be another holiday on the calendar. But when you see the profound news that changed the history of mankind by the birth of the Messiah, and you experience what that birth really means, my friends, then Christmas becomes real to you. Are you a child of the King? Then finally, in closing, I want to share with you what they did. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. These shepherds, they had it figured out. They knew this news was big. This was big news. And so they shared it with everybody. Can you imagine being that shepherd? And you go back home and you see your family and say, "You're not going to believe what happened to me. But I got to tell you. I saw the Messiah." Can you imagine as the shepherds went to the other shepherds, "You are not going to believe what we saw out in the field tonight. We saw an angel. He told us about the birth of the Messiah, and then we went and saw the birth of the Messiah. You're not going to believe." Let me tell you something. If you are a child of God, it is your responsibility to tell people what difference Jesus has made in your life. Sometimes we forget. Parents, you need to be reading the Christmas story to your children. I don't care what age they are. They need to hear from as soon as they're old enough to hear about the significance of Jesus. You also need to share with your children your salvation experience. Because they're going to come up one of these days and the Lord's going to deal with them to be saved. Okay? They're going to need to know how. We need to share not only with our families, we need to share with the people we work with. We need to share with our extended families. Are you glad to be a child of the King?
Amen.
Do you share it? Listen, you can't celebrate a Savior without declaring the Savior. All right? That's the challenge. Experience it and declare it. We have this verse of invitation. If you're not a child of God, if you've never called on Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to come. Make this the best Christmas ever as you experience the saving power of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the services this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the songs. Thank you, Lord, for everything. But most of all, we thank you that Jesus Christ, your Son, was born to us. And He was born to be the sacrifice for our sin. And so today we celebrate this birth, knowing that through His life and through His death, Lord, we have eternal salvation. And all who call upon You can experience that salvation. I pray that today's the day that those who are in this service lost, they would experience You firsthand through salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.